Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're going to do 30 minutes of trades here for your Thursday. So have a couple of thoughts here on the trade deadline stuff. I think a lot of these are fun. We talked about some on the Football Guys show this week. I think a lot of these trades now are really focused on now versus sort of the future. There was one where it was Javonte Williams, Debo Samuel, and a pick for Nick Chubb and Deontay Johnson. And I sort of like went into my offseason hat, and you know, I was kind of like thinking about it, and you know, I'm like kind of piecing it together, and I was like, is that a free second? You know, and I was like, they're kind of close player wise. You know, I think probably the Debo Javonte side's more flexible. And then I sort of came back to it, and I was like, but that's, you got to put yourself in the place of the person making the deal, right? I mean, we're sitting here, you know, waxing poetic in an ivory tower. What this deal is about is 100% someone dealing from their bench depth. Javonte Williams and Debo Samuel are unavailable to the person that's contending, and they're going out and getting two contending assets. I really like that as the structure of a deal, because when you sort of look at that, you kind of come back to it a bit. It's almost a neutral deal, right? You haven't lost. You haven't sort of sunk yourself into the future. You haven't given up a first. You haven't done anything like that, right? You've basically given kind of a neutral asset. You gave a second kind of to grease the wheels a bit, but it's really cheap, right? I think it's a great team building type of type of trade. So I just, and there was another one in here as well. It was Geno, Khalil Herbert, and a second for Eckler. And I kind of said the same thing. I'm like, there's basically three guys in there that aren't going to change your destiny for one guy that could. And I think that's right. That's a really compelling type of deal that is only made possible because you're trading, you know, from a non-contending team to a contending team. I have historically been pretty opposed to, or I have historically supported a trade deadline. I've supported a trade deadline because I have seen and been involved with being the, I don't know if victim's the right word, on the wrong end of collusion. I'm convinced of it. You know, if I had the power to get a search warrant for text messages, I know it happened, right? It's one of those things. But obviously I didn't, I didn't have that, but I know that it happened. And, you know, so I've sort of grew up in a league where that stuff happened. I've historically been really opposed to trade deadlines for that purpose. I've never sort of gotten over that. I've never kind of really gotten over the, you know, some of the bad stuff that has happened, right? People stealing money from the pot. Like, that has really changed kind of the way that I've viewed Dynasty and Fantasy in particular. I realize that not everyone is bad, but you're kind of scarred by some of those bad experiences. So I have historically been opposed to it. I'll tell you this, as I sort of look more and more at this, it's a really great time to make deals. You know, you can make deals leading up to the deadline, but I think you can make even better ones into the playoffs, right? If you're out of it, if you're in it, you know, whatever, wherever you find yourself, you can kind of make a deal, and it's now, and it can be pretty lucrative, right? Because the people they're letting their guard down, right? They're smelling money, and that's good. And that's a great way to profit. So I do think some of the trades in this, like, it's kind of making me reconsider my position a bit, because I think it does add some more tactics into it, and I think it's pretty interesting. Yeah, so some stuff here. We'll just sort of go right down it. A fourth, a fifth next year, and then a third, a fourth, and a fifth in 2024 for Brock Purdy. You had to have, like, tried to think other places, I would imagine. Like, I that's just a fascinating one. You know, Purdy's probably alive out for 2023. I don't know if that's in San Francisco, if this is like a, you know, is this a Matt Castle situation, something like that. Like, he's probably alive out, and you're not paying anything really for it. you know, I don't love the five picks for one. I'd rather take a bunch of shots than just to take one on Brock Purdy. And I would think that maybe you could do more, right? This is kind of why you don't pay out into the future like this, because then you're sort of stuck doing deals like this that don't really fix much. You know what I mean? If it's this deal doesn't change your reality, all it does is basically strip you of picks for the next 2 years, right? That's all it does. So for that sense, I don't like the way that this person team built. So that would sort of be my thought there. A second for Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray. See, like, this is a classic example of a trade like this. I actually think it's fine. I think it's fine both ways, right? If you're contending and you think Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray are going to help you in the next couple of weeks, and you're going to give kind of a late second, at this point, you know that second is presumably, right, if you're still alive, it's 209 or later. Go for it. You know, go for it, right? This is what you're hoping, honestly, to do is hit one of those situations from there into the future, right? That's what you're trying to hit. You hit it now, that's fine. David Montgomery for James Conner feels pretty neutralish. Again, I think actually Conner's in a little bit more of like a predictable situation heading into the offseason. I kind of wonder what, because it's contract-wise, right? Contract is pretty locked into next year. I kind of wonder what the world's going to think of David Montgomery. Like, of the top five most fascinating storylines of the offseason, Geno and Goff are one and two, and then the running back free agency is going to be number three. And I think that's just going to be really, really interesting. I don't know how the world treats a guy like David Montgomery. And I think they kind of treat him like James Conner. Like, honestly, I think they're not a bad comp for each other. And I think James Conner, you know, has kind of gotten through that and has landed on his feet. And I'm not sure Montgomery is going to find himself with a week one starting job next year. And I think Conner does right now. So I think I'd take Conner in this deal, would be kind of the thought. And I think Montgomery's probably outplayed in my mind what he was coming into the NFL. So I'm not like an anti David Montgomery truth or anything like that. I am a fan of both of these players, actually, now sort of as they've gone through their career. I didn't like Montgomery at his super high cost, but I like him more now. Sutton for Zay Jones, that feels, you know, this is another one of those types of deals. You know, if you don't think Sutton's a long-term difference maker, right, I understand this deal. If you think he blends in, you sort of add some immediate help right now, right? I think Zay Jones is probably playing the best he'll ever play, right? This is, you know, he's got to be in your lineup and it's got to be a fix for you right now. I understand the deal. I'd probably shoot for higher than Zay Jones in a deal like this. I'd rather add to Courtland Sutton and get him, you know, kind of move up the hierarchy, but I understand this deal. Jalen Hurts in a 2023 first for Josh Allen. I love that deal. I think that's a great deal. That's moving up the hierarchy. You know, you're now into a Supermax. I might change that to a superhero max, right? It might just include him and Mahomes. It's the only tier of that, right? It is a different one. And maybe we get into a spot where Jalen Hurts sort of finds himself there. I don't know. We'll have to reassess. That's going to be one of those, got to think about it on a long bike ride type of deals with Jalen Hurts this offseason about where he's going to fit at the position. But I think it's interesting. Again, if this is a contending sort of first, you would think it probably is. Honestly, if you're a contending team, right, if that's a contending first, think about, let's put ourselves in the position of this person. This is a contending first. They're still alive. This is 108 or later, right? 109 now or later out of 12-team league, right? If you're still alive at this point, you're heading into the semifinals. This is 109 or later, assuming that's how it's, you know, decided, right, by how you finish. I would do that for Josh Allen. You do that deal. Historically, you do that deal. You do the deal now. And honestly, like, you keep your shot open to win a championship, right? If Jalen Hurts goes away, probably not going to win a championship. Jalen Hurts, you replace Jalen Hurts and add to him and get Josh Allen, you're probably keeping your window open, right? That's what that person has told us by doing this deal, right? I can't kind of win this with Jalen Hurts. I got to sort of do an upgrade. I love the deal. I think the person isn't getting enough for Josh Allen. Right? I think that gap's too big, right? That's a top, you know, you're trading an all-timer profile through like 26, the age 26. I mean, I think he's 26 right now. I mean, you don't get three quarterback one finishes at that age. That is just an historical abnormality, right? That is a, that's a glitch in the matrix. And you're paying like a top, you know, you're paying Jalen Hurts, who's a level down from that, basically across the board, and you're doing it at the cost of like a, you know, 75 overall. That's kind of like, if you kind of put that deal together, that's how it fits. I mean, give me Josh Allen. That's a smash. I love that deal. All right, Jonathan Taylor for Christian McCaffrey. I think that's interesting from like, you know, I take the McCaffrey side. Right? Again, you're contending versus not. Like, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to be back. If you got a 5% chance to win it, you got to be in on it. And you got a much better than 5% chance to be in on it now. Right, I think that number's higher in Dynasty. Right, I think it's got to be, if you got, you know, if you have a, you know, a 10 to 15% chance to win it, you got to be in it. Right, I think that's kind of how you think about it. And now you're way above that. Right, you make this move. Right, it's a neutral move. Right, the long term, it's probably like the tails of their careers. I think Taylor probably lasts longer from now into the future. But, you know, I think McCaffrey undoubtedly has more ceiling, right? I think we've seen that, and we're kind of seeing that right now. A fifth for Deonta Foreman. I dig that deal. Give me Foreman. Like, I think that's a really good deal. I haven't even looked at the matchups yet, but I think he's a live out for 2023. Godwin and Dalton Schultz for Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett, and a fourth. That's a two tight end and a two PPR for tight ends. So that's, I mean, that makes Dalton Schultz really, really rich in this format. Again, it's two players that are unavailable. It's for two players that are available. It's a super premium format, and this is an amped up premium because you have the two PPR on top of the two tight ends. So that makes Dalton Schultz really valuable. And if you sort of put Godwin and Kupp kind of close to each other, you smash the Dalton side of that. So give me Godwin and Dalton. I understand the deal, and I think it's honestly a pretty cheap way. If you're high on Godwin, I think it's a pretty cheap way to address the tight end position. I think that's a super interesting deal, and one that frankly we probably should come back to in the future, thinking about a construct like that. Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins for Lockett, a second next year and a 2024 first. I go about this thinking, all right, kind of what's our rule? Like future first, top 30 asset, right? And again, this is out into the future, right? This is a random first because it's 2 years from now. You start thinking about that. I don't think the asset's there, right? I don't think that either of these players is a top 30 asset. I think you're going to lose this deal long term. I think you have to be honest with yourself about how much this is going to improve your odds right now. I probably wouldn't do this. I just probably wouldn't do it. The reason I wouldn't do it is because I don't know if Cook makes that much of a difference for you. I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins makes that much of a difference with you with Colt McCoy. Right? I kind of look at those and I'm like, is that really what I want to, in a 1 week sample size, is that, you know, what I'm sort of mortgaging my future to do? Where I think there's a lot of uncertainty with Cook heading into the off season. Like, you know, we'll sort of kind of see what Hopkins' next 12 months look like. I understand sort of pushing the chips in. I mean, you know, do something a little bit more secure with the first would sort of be my thought. Like, we've seen some of the other deals that you can get done. I think this would rank low on the ones that I'd want to do as a contender. Kyler Murray, a second next year and a first in 2024 for Justin Fields. This is a fleecing. Give me the Murray side. Again, I think that Murray buy window is going to be open, and this is a great deal for Murray. This is a it's a super flex, but two tight end format as well with some juice premiums. So those picks matter, and Murray's better than Fields, I think. At present. So I would trust Murray over Fields at present, even though like I'm a Murray skeptic, but I would put Murray's profile above the Fields profile at this point. Juwan Johnson for a second. Right? That's a great deal from, and in non-premium format, 2024 second. Take that every single day. A 2023 first for Dobbins. Again, that's, let's say that's 109 through 112. It's probably appropriate. Again, I wouldn't trade a future first for Dobbins, kind of like, you know, in the off season. I probably wouldn't have made that deal. But I think you're kind of looking at that. What are you going to get there? Are you going to get a day two starter? It's kind of what you're looking at with Dobbins. I understand the deal. It's a good matchup this week. I understand it. You know, I wish you got a little bit more in it, but I understand the deal. Jalen Hurts and Cordarrelle Patterson for Josh Allen. Again, that's a fleecing. But you're seeing these, right? You're seeing these. This is why I kind of want to be in this business. This is fun. Ramondre Stevenson, Keenan Allen, and Gerald Everett for Javonte Williams, Gabe Davis, and Cole Kmet. It's a 2 PPR for tight ends. This looks like a safe leagues format. You're basically getting, you know, you're getting an upgrade at wide receiver. Let's say it's neutral at tight end because that range of position doesn't matter. Entering 2023, let's call it September 1st, 2023. Who do you feel better about having on your roster, Ramondre Stevenson or Javonte Williams? I think the answer is going to be Ramondre Stevenson. I've been a Javonte Williams skeptic. Coming off a knee injury, I don't like it. And you could say, hey, the Patriots never sort of consolidate the job into a running back. They did with Ramondre Stevenson. Maybe the answer is that they hadn't had someone that looked like him before. In recent times, right? That's kind of how I would think about that one. So give me Stevenson. Give me the Stevenson side. I like the upgrade of Keenan Allen over Gabe Davis kind of in the near term as well. And I think the tight ends will wash. Tyler Heinicke, Derrick Henry, and Darren Waller for Derek Carr, Damian Pierce, and Shige Okongwu. Right, so you're dealing with basically, you know, let's just start. You start with Pierce versus Henry. Like, I think Henry, that's an upgrade certainly right now. Waller and Okongwu, like, again, that's not a range of the position where you sort of treat it super differently. So I think that this is really like, how do you view Carr in this deal? Because you're definitely taking a hit at quarterback, I think. If you view him just as kind of like a he blends in at quarterback too, can you recreate that? You know, can you then, you know, can you spin off Derek Carr in the offseason and get, you know, something that looks like, if you spin off Derek Henry in the offseason, can you get something that looks a little bit like Derek Carr? That's kind of how I'd be angling to do this deal, right? That's if I'm doing that, that's kind of what I'm thinking. And you say, all right, Tyler Heinicke can sort of stopgap it for me in the next couple of weeks if I need it, and we'll readjust it in the offseason. I get that deal. The question I'd have is, like, how much do you trust Waller over Okongwu right now? I think I do. I think the answer is I trust Waller over Okongwu, but I think that there's people that would take the other side of that deal at this time. So I get this deal. I would be lower on Pierce, I think, and I'm probably higher on Carr than this deal's calculus is. So I understand it. I'd probably take the Henry side with the thought of, all right, like, I can sort of use him to try and win these next couple of weeks, and then I can kind of spin this and I can use, you know, some of these assets to recoup at quarterback if I need to. Gardner Minshew for a third, I think that's fine. TJ Hockenson for Dalvin Cook, that is a 1.75 PPR, so that's pretty juiced up. I'd probably take the Hockenson side. I'm not a huge fan of either of these guys, but I'd probably take the Hockenson side. ETN for Gardner Minshew and Tony Pollard. I mean, I'm taking ETN over, I'm taking the ETN side. That's what I'm going to do. Kyler Murray for Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, and Russell Gage. I mean, Kyler Murray bye season is fully open. I think that's really the only possible conclusion that you can come to from this. Tyler Algier and CeeDee Lamb for Kyle Pitts. It's a 1.5 PPR. So a little bit less for premium than we usually do. I think it's fair. I'd probably take the Pitts side. I think it's Lamb for Pitts, honestly. If you're without Lamb, right? If you're without Pitts, how much does the other side help you right now? I think long term, I definitely want to be on the Pitts side. I understand why the other person is doing it. McKinnon for Tyler Heinicke, that feels fair. Let's see here. What else do we have? Javonte Williams, like all of the person's non-first round picks next year. So it's a second, two-thirds, two-fourths, two-fifths for Chris Olave. This feels like a bunch of crap for Olave. And honestly, like one of the ways that I think about looking at these deals, and I have to figure out a way to put this in the book. Right? One of the problems with sort of writing some stuff in the book is I talk about this stuff 365 days a year, something close to that, right? We do 380 plus podcasts a year, and you know, if you tune into, I don't know, half of them, right, you kind of understand some of the stuff that we're doing, right? You tune into probably less than half of them and you get a pretty good idea of what we're thinking strategically. I want to make a dynasty thesaurus, and I want to figure out a way, and maybe I'll just sort of do something to this effect, but basically kind of when you hear a pick, you should do word association, right? So second round rookie pick, day two running back, day two tight end, right? Hopeful shot at a first round wide receiver, right? This is the things that should jump out to you, right? Round three running back, all right. Round three pick, you're thinking, you know, hopefully day two tight end, injury away type running back. Round four, same, you know, type of thing, right? Depth tight end, you know, maybe you're taking a shot on a late day two wide receiver or something, someone falls, something like that. Those are developmental shots, right? You put those in your brain and then you sort of come back to it and say, all right, like, well, what am I getting here? Couple of depth running backs that I can probably replace in the waiver wire, like some filler maybe at tight end that I'm going to have to develop, and I'm getting maybe a day two running back. Later day two running back that's probably going to be an injury away type. Like maybe it's a Brian Robinson type, someone in that Damian Pierce type range from last year, Algier, someone like that, late second, you know, maybe it's TDP, something in that sort of asset range. All right, so I've done all of those things, and I've basically, that's seven roster spots plus Javonte Williams, or I'm going to take like a top eight wide receiver. You take the wide receiver. Right, like you take the wide receiver because all of those other things are replaceable. The Olave profile is not. Right, and I sort of that's how I kind of view picks now. Right, we could sort of go like super math on it, but one of the problems I think with analytics is, you know, the more mathy you get, the less, almost the more crutchy it becomes. Right, if you just kind of empower yourself to think about, all right, this round two. Like this, what is a round two rookie pick, right? What are you always trying to accomplish with that? Well, it's either a move up piece in rookie draft, or it's going to be, you know, you're hoping it's going to be a first round wide receiver, a day two running back, right? Same thing with those thirds, like you know, or at worst it's a day two tight end historically. Like that's what that round two pick is, and you start adding that up, and you're like, all right, well, and then a couple of injury away running backs, you know, are those guys even going to make it through your off season? Right, you got to cut seven roster spots to do this deal. I mean, Olave, smash. All right, so that's a little bit of theory there. Going deep on that trade that doesn't make a ton of sense. But Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and Jameson Williams for Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that this is three, birds in the hand. This is one bird in the hand versus three in the bush, right? Sky Moore's pretty blah. Kadarius Toney's pretty blah at this point. Jameson Williams, I'm intrigued. But give me the wide receiver one in his team, like in his wide receiver depth chart. I think this is a classic case of like, I look at that Eckler deal. I kind of came back to that Eckler deal that we talked about on the Football Guys show. And it was very much, you know, Geno Smith, Herbert in that second, for Eckler, right? I kind of see this one the same way. It's Sky Moore, it's Kadarius Toney, and it's Jameson Williams. I think another lesson you take from this is like, there's no guarantees in that, right? And it's basically kind of like filler right? It's a kind of a bunch of assets jumped on top of each other, and you're like, all right, well, I can get a legit wide receiver from you. You'd absolutely do that deal, right? That's how you build from depth. I think also if you sort of take the lesson of, hey, I'm just going to take in the later first round, in the second round, I'm just going to take a couple wide receivers, store some value there, and figure it out later. That's a really good argument for that. That's a really, really, really good argument for that type of strategy. You know, we try and sort of get production in that range, but I'm sort of more open to like using that type of, you know, that type of trade for that type of draft selection for planning ahead for this type of trade, right? Constantly trying to think about these assets. So, so that's the deal there. All right, what else we got here? We got about 4.5 minutes left on this 30-minute show. Gabe Davis for Tyler Allgeier, that feels fair. A first and a third next year for Jameson Williams. I'd be curious to know where the first is. I'd probably hold the pick. I don't think that deal goes away. That's one of the things I always think about. Is that deal go away? I don't think that deal goes away. So I'd probably hold the pick. DJ Moore and Kadarius Toney for Jerry Jeudy in a third. That feels pretty neutral. I think people are probably higher on Jeudy right now than DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore's done more in his career. DJ Moore's riding high right now. Toney's worth, something in that second, third range, something like that. I'd probably take Moore just because I trust him more than Jeudy. A third for McKinnon, that's fine. Ertz for Hooper, 1.75 PPR. I'm sure that's a you-have-to-play-Hooper type situation. It feels neutral-ish, right? I mean, if you don't think Ertz is going to be come back sort of early next season and be ready to go, or, he's getting into his mid-30s at this point and you're a little skeptical, right? I understand this deal. Again, I would probably add to Ertz to go up the position more than I would just try and take a shot on, right? You're just taking a shot on Hooper. You're just throwing a dart at variance, right? You're not really accomplishing anything. You're just basically accomplishing kind of a random shot. It's really what you're doing in that range. I'd rather add to Ertz to try and, figure out a way to actually make it a solution. You feel like you're giving away kind of an asset with this. So I don't like that deal. I think that the proper deal is to kind of go up. Rondell Moore and a first for Olave. I mean, that's Olave unless that's like 101. Derrick Henry for Rondell Moore and 2/3. I mean, that's a great way. Again, think about storing value at wide receiver to address positions later on. I'm doing that. I'm doing this deal for Derrick Henry because this is, it's three things that probably aren't going to help you for one that definitely can. It's an awesome deal. That's an awesome deal. So, I think that three things that definitely that aren't going to help you for one that will is certainly a good way to kind of gauge these types of trades. All right, next up here, with a couple of minutes to go, Amon-Ra St. Brown for a first. Again, this is going to be a really early first for me not to take the Amon-Ra St. Brown side. I'm a big fan of that dude's profile. Third for Sam Darnold, good luck. Good night and good luck. A third for Zonovan Knight, a couple of those in there. Feels pretty neutral. It's a second for Alec Pierce, again, good night and good luck. Don't ever do a deal like that, would sort of be my assessment. Derek Carr and Mac Hollins for Stafford and Carson Wentz. I actually think I probably would take the Carr side of that. Stafford... Stafford's going to come back and play. I got to take the Carson Wentz is so toxic. I didn't even want him on my roster to poison the well. The right deal is probably Stafford, but if Derek Carr is going to help you right now, Hollins is probably going to help you as well, right? That's probably why you're making the deal. I understand it. A second for Romeo Doubs, right? Again, you're basically storing that value. Cash it out, kind of a liquid price. I get it. Marlon Mack and Tyler Lockett for Jeff Wilson, Devin Duvernay, and Tyler Conklin. I have no idea what you're accomplishing in that. I guess it's too tight end, and so you're hoping to get Tyler Conklin. I think that's not a good deal. I respect Lockett too much to do a deal like that. Mac Jones and Olave for Kyler Murray. That feels much more like Kyler Murray full value, right? That's kind of actually in the range there. Mike White and Joku for Deebo Samuel and Gesicki. That's in two PPR. I get it. I get the Joku side. All right, that'll do it for this edition. Till next time, continue embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.